This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Everybody, this is Zane Adams on Wix Warbird Weekly here on warbirdradio.com. Welcome to the Wednesday night show, January 18th, 2012. I'm your host tonight. Ryan's out. He's doing some sort of aviation convention out in California. I think he said he'd be halfway between L.A. and Yuma or somewhere thereabouts tonight about showtime, so he wouldn't be here. So I'm taking over for his stead tonight, and we've got an interesting show tonight. I've got a couple of guests for you tonight. And, other than that, we're bringing you the news and information from around the world as brought to us by our members on the WarbirdInformationExchange.org, the forum over there. So one of the best forums around on the web for Warbird, for the Warbird community gathering for what we like to call as Hangar Talk. And that's what we do here on Wednesday nights here on live on warbirdradio.com. I'd like to ask you guys to join us on the show. You can call us 478-787-4768 if you are so inclined. Call us if something piques your interest that we're talking about here tonight. Give us a call here on the live on the studio line. And that's right, we are live here on January 18th tonight. So there's some big news that happened this week, and we'll get to a little bit of that in depth later. But just, you know, starting off, the big news on Warbirds this week was the flight of the Yanks EC-121 Super Connie from Camarillo over to Chino, about an 80-mile flight there. And I believe Matt will have somebody on with the Yanks Air Museum on Warbird Radio Live this week, and maybe tomorrow, I believe it is, but make sure you tune in to that at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Central Time there on warbirdradio.com for the live show during the week. But he'll be talking with those guys with the Connie at the Yanks Air Museum. It's pretty neat to see photographs of that on Wix, that EC-121. It's rare to see a Connie flying, and it's very rare to see that model fly. I don't know if it'll ever fly again. We talked about it a little bit last week that, you know, I think Yanks is going to be doing a static restoration for that airplane. It is expensive to fly those. Takes a lot of money to fly. So, but that was the big Yahoo news this week on the Wix forum. Lots of photographs, lots of people out there looking, being able to see that airplane. So it was good to see. But we're doing a little something different tonight. We've got a little plan here to try to highlight some of our Wix members, longtime members on Warbird Information Exchange. And for our first member tonight is Brad Eaney, a.k.a. Mudge, or the Mudge, our local curmudgeon on the Wix forum. Brad, are you there with us?
Yep, right here.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
How you doing? I'm pretty okay.
You're pretty okay.
I guess I'll make it till early breakfast.
There you go. And things okay out there in West Virginia, I guess, today? Mm-hmm. The weather's nice, or it's wintertime, so who knows, right?
Yeah, well, my wife was out doing her snow dance because she teaches, and if it snows bad enough, she gets a day off, but no such luck with this weather.
Well, you know, it'll come. It's just like Texas. Summer will come, and we'll be hot, and you guys will get snow, and I imagine it'll be all right. But, Brad, you've been on the forum there for a long time as Mudge, and if people don't know, where did the Mudge handle come from?
Well, you said it, curmudgeon. My wife gave it to me. When I drive, I have no friends.
Ah, I see.
You know, drive like you want to get to where you're going. If you're not going to pass somebody, get out of my lane. And she says, you're being a real curmudgeon. And it just morphed into mudge. And so now every now and then she'll say, you're being a mudge. So that's where that came from.
There you go. Well, you're certainly a lively character on the forum. You know, I've always enjoyed your post. You know, you've got your signature sign-off lines, and I sure enjoy those. And sometimes, you know, you make me get the dictionary out, Brad. So,
well,
I guess that's a good thing.
I'm beginning to run out of adjectives sometimes, so...
Well, that's okay. That's all right. So what brings you to the forum? Why do you?
Well, I have always been in love with airplanes. I grew up during World War II. I volunteered in 1942, but for some reason they said I was too young. I was all of 7 years old. The ceiling of my room was covered with the aircraft models you got in those days. They were some kind of material that was molded together, kind of like hard rubber.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were black because they were just, you know, silhouette type things. And
sure.
I could ID all the Allied aircraft and most of the German. And I didn't, for some reason, have any Japanese aircraft, and I don't know why, but... My little brother used to try to take them down and play with them, and that started a few dust-ups. Don't mess with my stuff.
Yeah.
But when I got out of high school, I went to work for Eastern Airlines. I can't begin to tell you how many of those Connie bellies I've been up in loading bags. But
so you were a ramp rat for Eastern.
Oh yeah, yeah, big time. And then I quit there and joined the Air Force and did my 4 years there, 3.5 years in the booming metropolis of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Ah, that's a fine country there.
Back then you get 6 blocks north or south off of Central Avenue and you were out in the desert, but now it's spread all over the place.
Yeah,
I was at Kirtland.
Yeah, what was your unit there at Kirtland?
I was the 34th Air Division Defense. It was a division of NORAD, and we were the headquarters squadron and had all the radar sites in Arizona, Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, obviously, Texas, calling in aircraft movement to us. So,
and what was your job there?
My job, I was called a control technician, which was the... I sat at the right hand of the OIC, and I just logged everything and monitored what was going on. And I worked for the crew chief, obviously, who was a sergeant, but I had a little more authority than he did, actually, because I worked for the man. And I was the only non-NCO to hold that job, and I held it for longer than anybody else had. But... It just worked out that way.
Well,
then when I got out, I... Go ahead.
You spent all 4 years there in Albuquerque?
Well, I did basic up at Sampson Air Force Base up in New York.
Okay.
I was one of the last training squadrons to go through there, and then I did tech training at Keesler down in Lake Biloxi, Mississippi.
Okay.
And then the rest of the time, I was in Albuquerque when I... had been there long enough that I wanted to leave. I didn't have enough retained ability, so I had to just stay there. But got out of there and went to work for Capital Airlines, and then they were bought out by United, and I did 34 years with United in customer service. And retired in 90... I was 58, so that must have been 93. When you get to be my age, your memory is the second thing to go. What can
right.
I tell you?
Right, right, yeah.
But
that's what I've heard, so yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Raised a daughter.
If you, what did you, your time there, you were Eastern before you were, before you went in the Air Force then?
Yeah, I was with Eastern for a year and then got tired of being a ramp rat and went out and joined the Air Force. And then when I came out, I still had airplanes in my blood, so I went to work for another airline.
There you go. But, I know a lot of us as kids, I know, you know, it sounds familiar. I mean, of course, I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, but, you know, I had airplanes hanging all over the ceiling as well. And I think that's kind of a common theme for us airplane nuts.
Yeah, I still do all over the house there. I started building the 1/32 plastic models.
Yeah.
And I think I've got about 40 of them here. But they don't make the 1/32 models anymore, so I quit building them.
Well,
and I keep telling my wife I'm gonna box these up and put them. No, leave them where they are. They're nice, eh? You know,
because
she's become an airplane freak too. she's learned more. She had no interest in airplanes until we got married, and she has probably learned as much in the 14 years we've been married as I have in the previous 60 something years. She's very bright and wants to learn, and because I like it, she likes it.
No, it's cool, and that's always good. It's good to have in a marriage and a companionship there. I know I've drugged my wife to too many air shows. We've been married, 24 years now, and we were air shows when we were dating, and, you know, and she's been flying with me when I was actively flying, when I was a private pilot and actively flying, and she enjoyed that, and, you know, and it kind of drives her crazy, but she understands me. And
well,
you know,
she's the one that drags me to the air shows now.
Well, that's good.
Are we going to Duxford next year? Are we going to Thunder this year? You know.
Well, you're a lucky man, Brad.
Yeah, yes, I am. Speaking of Duxford, do you want to hear a funny story?
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
It's about me and Steve Hinton. We were at Duxford, and there was a P-47 sitting out beyond the flight line. Have you been to Duxford?
No, have not. No?
Okay, anyway, the guys who have will know what I'm talking about, but beyond the lineup of aircraft, there's a whole lot of grass, and there was a P-47 sitting out there, and with the panels off, and there were 3, 4, 5 guys with their heads in there trying to find out why it wouldn't go. And all of a sudden, here goes Steve Hinton across the ramp out, you know, because Steve loves to get his hands on airplanes. So anyway, he goes out, and they're messing around. Finally, they get all the panels back on, and they were standing around, and it kind of looked like they weren't sure just what they wanted to do. And it just reminded me of this old commercial about the kids eating cereal. You eat it. I don't want it. No, I'm not going to eat it. You eat it. Well, give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything.
Right.
And it was kind of like these guys were standing around saying, I'm not going to test fly it. You fly it. I'm not going to fly it. I know. Let's give it to Steve. He'll fly anything. And he did. So
he did. Yeah, and that's, you know, Steve Hinton, he flies everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That lucky dog.
I know some have heard the story about me and trying to fit into a P-38, but
yeah, you sat in behind the pilot there or something, didn't you?
Almost. Well, anyway, I ran into Steve again at Duxford. I've run into him at different air shows, and you know, I'm not too difficult to spot, being 6'6" and 230. And we, you know, acknowledge each other, and I ran into him at Duxford, and I said, Steve, you think I can fit in the back of that P-38? He, oh, yeah, well, come out and we'll see. So we went out to Chino for the air show. And I got there a day early so I could go for a ride in the P-38. So I walk into the gift shop and I said, I'm looking for Steve Hinton. Oh, he's out there. Look for the P-38. He'll be out there. Now, I just don't have a vision of any other museum telling you to go find somebody out in their toys.
Right.
But anyway, I go out, and Steve's got his head in the wheel well of the P-38, and I told him why I was there. Oh, okay, well, let's go. And I don't know if you're familiar with P-38 or not, but it's got a little ladder that folds down out of the back of the gondola.
Right, a little two-step.
Yeah, well, I got one step up, and I've got a problem with my left hip, and I can't pick up my own weight using my left leg. So Steve's up on the plane already, and then let me give you a hand. So here he is hauling this geezer up on the wing of the P-38. I was, a little embarrassed.
Right.
So anyway,
opens but he hauled
the cockpit.
You up here.
Yeah, he's. So he opened the cockpit. I start to get in, and I'm in and sitting down and leaning over, trying to get all of me in there. And my head from the neck up was still sticking out of the cockpit. And we decided at 300 miles an hour that wouldn't be a good idea. So I crawled out, and he hollered at one of the guys who brought over a stepladder so I couldn't. So I could get down off the wing, not too humiliated.
A face plant out there.
No.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't get your P-38 ride.
Well, I also saved $2,000, but.
Well, certainly. Certainly. I don't know if I would try. Of course, I'm 6'1 and more than 230.
No, you wouldn't get in there. I don't think anybody over about 5'8 would fit in there.
No. So what? Have you gotten a few Warbird rides in your lifetime?
I have ridden in one, and it was a P-51 owned by a guy out in Lodi, California, by the name of Bill Doss, and cost me $500 for an hour.
Wow!
Which is a bargain.
Oh yeah.
He runs a skydiving school out there, but anyway, I went out, and he said, "Oh, okay," and he hollered at some of the guys, "Haul out the P-51," and out of the hangar comes this shiny, black P-51, and I couldn't figure out why he would paint it black, but then later I found out why, which we won't go into, but anyway, it was fun. He wouldn't let me fly it, but...
Was it dual control?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's outside of a jet, that's as fast as I've been in a piston airplane. We're up to about 330, I think, if I remember correctly.
Cool. Yeah, I have yet to have my P-51 ride. I've been fortunate enough to ride in a few bombers, but not a fighter. So, that's on my list,
Well, I'll take that back, because I did ride in a B-25 when I was out in Albuquerque. And it's like riding on the inside of a beer can, as you well know. I mean, man, the noise. But then I also got to ride in a T-33 when I was, not that I mean to brag or anything, when I was a base airman of the month there one month. So prize was a ride in a T-33.
That's great. I had a friend of mine that was able to do that at Naha Air Force Base over in Okinawa. So
he
made his life,
And
and the T-33 would be a great ride. That's commendable. And Airman of the Month, there's nothing, if you did it, it's not bragging, right?
Well, no brag, just fact.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you've got some, I know you show up at the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum's big air show, and you and your wife are both dressed to the nines in pinks and greens or something thereabouts. Tell us about your uniform there.
I, as big as I am, it's very difficult for me to find things, authentic stuff that size. I mean, there weren't any people my size in World War II.
Very few and far between, right?
Yeah. So I got the tunic from, I've forgotten the name of the place. Anyway, so I started out with a tunic, and I said, "Hey, I want an Ike." So I had my tailor, who does a lot of sewing for us, make me an Ike jacket, and it turned out beautiful. I couldn't believe it. You'd be hard pressed to tell it from the real thing, but. Then my wife, who I will refer to by her name, Lynn, wanted to reenact also. So I said, "Well, how about Navy?" Okay, so there's a World War II surplus kind of store about 15-20 miles from me, and he happened to have a set of Navy officer, Wave Whites, and she looks outstanding in them.
Cool.
Of course, she's got a figure to die for anyway, but so she...
So yeah, you're just sucking up. She's listening, isn't she?
No, she's gone to bed. Yes, she's up at 4 in the morning to go to school.
Oh, okay.
So I also found her a set of blues, and I reenact as a bird colonel, and she reenacts as a Navy commander. And she says, well, does a colonel outrank a commander? I said, of course. Do you think I'm going to let you outrank me? No way. But anyway, one day, like on Saturday, I'll wear the tunic, and she'll wear the whites, and then Sunday I'll wear the pike, and she'll wear the blues. And she gets more compliments. Oh, let me take your picture. And it's kind of like, sir, could you stand to the side while I take this lady?
Big ugly fella, get out of the way, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I got in the picture.
Well, that's great. It's fantastic she's involved with you like that. There's no inter-service rivalry goes on when you go to weekend there?
No, I learned about inter-service rivalry some years ago because my father was career Navy. He did 24. He was due to get out like February of 42. And after Pearl Harbor, they said, not so fast there, Chief.
Yeah, you're staying.
You're in for the duration. So, and my older brother was Army. I was Air Force, and my younger brother was Marines. So we kind of got along okay.
We're good. Well, what are your plans for this year? Are you going to back to England, or are you staying stateside?
No, I think I'm, to be blunt, I think we've had it with England. It's gotten to be not much fun anymore. I don't know how to put it. I won't.
Oh, there you go. Well, it is what it is.
No, we're going to go do a Normandy tour in France in July, where we're going to do Reading, the World War II weekend in the 1st of June, and then the end of June, after she gets out of school, we're going to go down to the D-Day Museum in New Orleans, and that'll be our second trip there. And then in July, we're going to go to France and do the Omaha tour. Well, they call it the American Experience Tour, which is the tour of the beaches of Omaha and Utah, and then do what they call the Band of Brothers Tour, which goes through all the places you saw in the TV show.
Right, the airborne guys do.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting to find out what you saw in the TV show as opposed to what actually happened.
Sure.
But anyway, it's Hollywood.
Yeah, oh yeah. Now, then some stuff they try real hard to get it right, but then they've got to do Hollywood and keep it entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's like this the Red Tails movie that's coming up. It's bound to be Hollywoodized to some extent, and hopefully not too much. But but it will be, and we all know that. But
Well, I'm still really looking forward to the new version of Dam Busters.
Yeah, I hope that comes to fruition. I think it's been a long time in process, and
I think with all the CG they're going to have to do, it really takes a long time, because it's really intensive if they want to make it look decent.
Of course. Well, Mudge, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. It's been fun. I hope to hear from you again, and hope one of these days we'll run into each other at an air show. I don't make it up north of the Mason-Dixon line very often, and haven't been in a long time, but,
I feel hurt.
Well, it's nothing personal, but...
I know. Okay. Thank you, Zane. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you being on, Mudge. I really do. And we'll see you on the Wix forum again. And, you can use all the adjectives you want. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks again, Zane.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Brad.
Bye-bye.
That was... Brad Eney, a.k.a. Mudge from the Wix Warbird Forum. It was great to have him on. I hope to do some more of this. We have other guests planned. I've got in conversation with a bunch of people on Wix Forum, longtime posters, and we'll have them on here in the next coming weeks. Hope to have a little series here, the Wix Member Spotlight, we may call it. And I think it'll be fun. It'll get a little community to it. And, you know, I know Zach and Chris, you guys are listening on the live chat. I appreciate you there. We got the live chat at warbirdradio.com. You can click in there and listen. The phone lines are open as well. Give us a call at 478-787-4768. And we'll be right back here in a few minutes. We've got a guest, Jim Reynolds, with the Greatest Generation Aircraft Company group down there in Fort Worth, talk about the B-26K. So stand by. We'll be right back after this break.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back here to the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show. Having some difficulties here, technical difficulties here with Zane. Zane, are you still there? We'll try and bring you back
here,
up.
I'm here.
There you go.
I don't know. Can you hear me? Everybody hear me?
Yeah,
well,
you got you loud and clear there. I don't know what happened.
All right.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, well, hoping to have Jim Reynolds on here with the Greatest Generation Aircraft, but hadn't been able to get a hold of him yet. So we'll try again here in a few minutes. Maybe he stepped away from the phone there, but we'll try here in a few minutes. But, hey, the phone lines are open. I know you guys, a lot of you guys are listening out there, so give us a call at 478-787-4768. We are up and ready here. The phone lines are open. We got a couple of little other news items from the Wix Forum this week. I noticed one thing today that Thunder City Jet Warbirds down there in Cape Town, South Africa, they are up for sale. The bidding is going on. There's a link there on the Wix Forum about where the jets are for sale. And they've got a lot of airplanes down there. They've got three English Electric Lightnings, supersonic airplane. I think most of them some of them are two-seaters, at least one or two of them are. And they've got three the BAE Buccaneers, and then they've got four Hawker Hunters. And those airplanes are all for sale. I know up until a couple of years ago, till they had an unfortunate fatal accident at an air show down there. They were up and flying. A lot of them were, and they were selling rides, and it was a going concern. And of course, that part of their life is over now. But those airplanes are up for sale, and if anybody's got the millions to buy one or two of those, it'd be a great addition to the flying warbird scene around the world. But looks like the end of February is the end of the bidding on those. So you know, that's kind of sad to see, and I sure hope some of those stay in flying condition there. So another news, mentioned it with Mudge there a little bit ago, or Brad, that the Red Tails movie opens Friday night. I know a lot of you folks will be there looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it myself, see what it's exactly like. Of course, most of us hardcore airplane guys are can be a little skeptical with Hollywood, so, you know, keep your expectations where they are, and the you know, hopefully it won't disappoint. I know it'll be a good story. It is a good story. It's a story worth telling. So a lot of people need to hear that Red Tail story, the Tuskegee Airmen flying Mustangs in Italy in World War II is important, and it'd be a great story to tell, and I hope they tell it well. So, and we're still trying here to hear about Special K, the B-26K model down here in Fort Worth. Jim Reynolds was going to be on with us tonight. He may have had technical difficulties or had gotten busy. I know that I talked to him this week about it, and there's a little bit of on the forum this week, he gave a little updates on it. They've got a prop hung. They're still working on an engine. They've got to pull an engine, and they've got some landing gear and that kind of stuff. It's an exciting project. They still need volunteers. If you live here local in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're willing to take volunteers. They need metal benders and mechanics and floor sweepers and everything else, of course, over there at the museum, the Vintage Flying Museum at the Meacham Field, and that's where the Special K is based there. So it's looking up. They've got a lot of work to do, but it's going to be one heck of a restoration. It'll be original. It is original as it came out of the Air Force. Not much has ever been done to that airplane, so it'll be good. But another couple things on the Wix forum. You guys that frequent the Wix forum, if anybody needs a project Beach 18, there's one for sale. Notice that Warbird.com's got that for sale. So. You know, we could put up a link to that if you need to. If anybody's interested, let us know. But and that's going through the WIC forum. And I know that Eric Miller out of Harrison, North Carolina, they've got a Beach 18 for sale, I think. They've got a AT-11 restoration that they've begun in earnest. I know they've talked about it and over the years and. Doing that restoration and talked about it on the forum for a while, but it is ready to go, and they are working on it hard. They've been doing some updates there on the Wix forum, so you can see those there. It'd be great to see another AT-11 out flying on the circuit there. So, and another, let's see, big things on the forum this week. You know, Chris, our own Chris, aka Mustang Driver, brought up a nice paint scheme question this week, and paint's always fun on the Wix forum. Paint seems to rile people up a little bit, and we know we had a little issue with the Lexington, and the Lexington folks were kind enough to come on Tuesday morning with Matt on the Warbird Radio Live show and talk about the airplanes, talk about the Lexington, the ship down there in Corpus Christi, Texas, Chris brought up a thing about next week or next spring. One of their aircraft they're going to be working on, it's going to be a B-25. It's going to be a static J model. It's got a glass nose on it, and he's kind of taking a poll. What kind of scheme would you like to, on the restoration there? And you know, there's a lot of neat B-25 schemes. A B-25 lends itself to such a hot rod and such a workhorse in the Air Force there in World War II. It's got a lot of schemes. A lot of the folks some people in the Pacific say, hey, the Pacific guys need to do it, need to be represented. And I know there's a lot of 8th Air Force and 15th Air Force and 9th Air Force. Everybody else is represented, but the Pacific guys are not as much. And there are some great schemes there. So if anybody's got an idea on what they'd like to see, give us a call there at 478-787-4768 is the phone number. So, let's see. What else was there? Is anybody out there? You guys can call in tonight. I feel like I'm just babbling on here, but that's okay, right? That's what we're doing here, Hangar Talk tonight. So let's see. I've got another something else here for the Wix member. We got our buddy on Wix, Jerry O'Neill. Apparently over Christmas, he was he started flying years ago, and he had gotten out of flying, And for Christmas, he got a got his biannual flight review and a 172 checkout, and he's back flying again. So congrats to Jerry getting air back under his wings and flying again. I know he posted that on the Wix forum, and he was real excited there. So looks like we got a caller. Caller?
Hey, Zane, how are you, buddy? It's Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. My ears are burning, so I figured I should call in.
Well, I figured I might get you with your B-25 paint scheme going there. What
absolutely.
What airplane are you working on?
Well, I volunteer out of Grissom, and we're working on, we have a B-25 that flew as Passionate Paulette in the movie Catch 22, and it's static display B-25J.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, it's sort of been given a pseudo desert paint scheme, which I think a few people throughout the years were aiming for a paint job similar to what's on Briefing Time, and they just missed the mark a little bit. So we're trying to pull it back and get something a little more accurate. And but we're willing to be creative. And it is a glass nose airplane, so we need to stick with a glass nose. But we're willing to take suggestions. And it was a slow day at work, and I just thought it'd be a fun day, the thing to throw out there and say, let's see what kind of interesting suggestions we get. One of the suggestions we have is doing a PBJ with it, and honoring the Marines with it, which it's a pretty cool idea. There's not a lot of B-25s painted that way. There's a few, and of course, there's the PBJ that's under, the actual PBJ that's under rebuild out at the SoCal wing of the CAF.
Right.
It would be kind of nice to, have maybe another one to honor, but we're not tied in anything yet. I'm hearing a lot of cool ideas, and that's exactly why I threw it up on Wix, was just to get some people talking about it and seeing what we can find out. And, I've even found out that, the Tuskegee Airmen flew B-25s at one point. They were in combat, sure, but in training they had them. So a lot of cool ideas. And, one of Wix's own members flew our airplane in the filming of Catch 22. He flew it as Passionate Paulette.
That part of where that suggestion came from then? I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I think he's going to put some pictures up on the website of him flying it. So, pretty much our airplane, it was built too late for combat, obviously, and spent its time in depots. And it basically would have just been polished aluminum with the standard, U.S. Air Force, United States Air Force markings on it, which is even a possibility. I mean, that'd be kind of a neat idea as well. So we're just sort of sitting back and welcoming any ideas.
That'd be great if you had some local folks there that, if you could search out some local folks that were B-25 connections, and, maybe there's a scheme to come out of that, something rare, something that we don't have in the world there.
Yeah, exactly. We're hoping to hit something different. A few of the ideas just around the museum were sort of ones that are so depicted. Someone was like, well, maybe we should paint it up like a pseudo a Doolittle airplane. And it's like, oh man, there's so many of those out there. And,
sure.
Not to take away from the Doolittle Raiders. It's just, I think they're well documented, and ours is way the wrong model. And let's try and stick to something at least with a J. And,
thanks, Chris. I appreciate you calling in. You do on out there with the Grissom Museum.
We do our best.
I sure hope you hope you continue with that, and good luck with that. And I appreciate you calling in tonight.
No problem, Zane. Have a good night.
All right, thanks, Chris. That was Chris Henry. He's going to be on the warbirdradio.com on their Warbird Rescue Show tomorrow night at 7, and they are 8 o'clock Eastern. Those guys have a good time over there with the Warbird Rescue Society, and they're doing some good work. And it's always fun. Chris and Rob and the guys are hardworking guys. So, and looks like we've got Jim Reynolds on the line. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I'm glad you glad we could get connected with you here tonight. So, Jim, you're with the Greatest Generation Aircraft Group there out of Fort Worth.
Yes, we're a nonprofit foundation operating out of Meacham Field.
And you guys are the current caretakers of the A26K, the Special K. And everybody seems to be pretty excited about that restoration, and I know you guys are working hard on it. What have you got? What's going on with the airplane now? What's your update on it?
We are in the process of starting to put things back on it, which is a great feeling. We've been taking things off since last April and getting them fixed and repaired or patched up or replaced. So we've got a great team working on it, and we hope to have it all back together sometime this summer. I'd love to take it to Oshkosh if we have her flying.
Well, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many folks you got working on the airplane?
I'm sorry?
I said, how many folks do you have working on the airplane? What's your volunteer crew like?
Volunteers, it varies. Saturdays are our big days. We have up to 16 people on Saturdays come in. Fridays, we usually have 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon who make it over. A few come out on Sundays. A few come during the week at other times when they can afford the time.
Sure.
It's all volunteer work for the most part. And we've just had outstanding support from the community, and many of our the vendors around the city here have supported us by donating things like Goodyear gave us two main gear tires. We've gotten Concord batteries donated. Champion gave us 72 new spark plugs. Others have supported us with ground support equipment, 5 state helicopters. There's just been a number of folks, but Abiol, I guess, has been one of the outstanding supporters for all of us.
Well, that's great to have the support like that, the community support and the vendor support. And 72 spark plugs is not a cheap undertaking. Nothing on Warbirds is, so, you know. And you guys are taking, you guys got funding, you accepting money, I guess, anywhere you can get it. And you guys got a funding campaign going on out there, I know.
Yeah. One of the groups that started the seed money to get us going was the A26 Legacy outfit. It's a nonprofit that was started by the sons and daughters of the A26, B-26 pilots in Vietnam, the Nimrods being in particular. The chairman of that foundation's dad was a Nimrod. That's their call sign in the 609 Special Operations Squadron. They operated out of Thailand over Laos in super secret missions. Nobody knew about until probably into the 90s.
Oh, Jim, you still there?
We're back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the mid-90s,
you said. For a minute.
Yeah. What was that mission?
They interdicted the Ho Chi Minh Trail at night. So they were after the trucks. They were coming down from North Vietnam into South, infiltrating the supplies and troops. The very effective, probably the most effective weapon that the Air Force had over the trail in the mid to late 60s. So they operated primarily from 66 to 69 out of a base called NKP. They generally had no more than about 15 or 16 at a time. There were a total of 40 of these A-26s that were converted into K models by the Air Force by Onmark. And this is the last one that's going to be flying. There's 6 airplanes left. 5 are in static museums, never fly again. This is a very important airframe that we've taken the responsibility to get it flying again.
Oh, yeah, it is. And you know, this airplane sat up in, Idaho for years and years, and it was on one of those deals that, you know, people in it kind of bubbled up every once in a while in the Warbird community. Hey, how about that K model? What's going on with it? You know, I sure wish something would happen with it. And now it is. I know it's a pretty epic flight, I guess, with Jim Steve flew it down here on a ferry flight, and I got to see it you know, before you strip the paint off of it, and it's mm-hmm. camouflage, and it's a good looking airplane, and I'm looking for it's really neat. And you speak to this a little bit about the original equipment that's still on it. I know that the bomb racks still work, that the bomb bay still work, that the radio still all of this stuff still on there. That was it's all Air Force equipment. It's original stuff.
Yeah. It escaped. It came out of the boneyard. The only thing they took out of it was the gun sight, the 8 machine guns that were in the nose, and the gun charger. And that was primarily it. And the state of Georgia obtained it with the purpose of making it into a tanker, air tanker, and fighting forest fires.
Right.
Three of them. But they never did convert it. It was subsequently bought by other air tankers, and somehow it kept missing the deadlines, I guess, for the changeover, and it never did get touched. And it stayed in Billings, Montana, and became a condo for birds for about 30 years. I think we're still finding bird nests all over the airplane. It's still pulling them out.
Sure.
They are, Hoffman is our lead ace maintenance guy, and he just was amazed at how many these bird nests we had to remove just to get started on it.
Now, I know it's a labor of love, and there's a lot of work to do on it. You've got what's your current state? I mean, you were talking to me. You've got one engine, I think, that you said that needs to be pulled, or?
Yeah, we're going to probably pull the left engine, and it's mainly for a repair that we need to do on the sheet metal behind it. We also want to check the engine mounts while we got it off, and probably we'll be replacing the donuts there on the, the rubber absorbers on the engine mount while we got it off. So we've got the left main gear out. It's being overhauled as we speak, and I hope to have that back in the next couple of weeks. So we'll start on the right side after that and get that all going. The nose gear is already done. We're doing a lot of general work and cleanup, get the gear doors ready. Nose gear doors are about done, but we need to get the main gear doors painted. They're already blasted and prepped, so we're getting there, slow but sure.
Do you still have an in with the Air Force? I know that Jim was talking about that you guys had an angle that maybe the Air Force was willing to paint the airplane for you, and I was wondering if that was still on the burner there, or?
No, that did not happen.
Okay.
We did get Sherwin-Williams, though, to donate the paint. So we're interested in finding somebody who can paint it. Although we could do it ourselves, it would be much easier, you know, if we had a shop that was big enough to do that. So, you know, we're grateful that we got the paint, but the Air Force couldn't do it. We couldn't get it down to Hurlburt for the reunion, the Air Commando Association. And because we didn't have a maintenance reason to go down there, we couldn't ferry it down there anyway. So
sure. Yeah.
It wasn't ready. But right. We hope to make the Nimrods have been supporting us with donations, the association and individuals from the B-26 pilots who flew it. And many of them actually showed us logbooks where they got their training in this airplane, 679.
Was this airplane ever in Vietnam, or did it stay here in the United States?
It stayed here. The only combat history it had was in World War II when it was an A-26D before the conversion.
And what was that history? I haven't heard that one.
It went to England right almost in April of 45, so it wasn't there very long. It did fly some missions, and of course the war was over in May, so
okay.
You know it was still hardly broken in when they brought it home, and they put it in a boneyard for a while and drug it out and made a target tug out of it. It went around lots of different places, Puerto Rico, up to Ohio, and so on. There's a long list of places it's been. Then there's, before it was converted to Unmark configuration, it was used for training the Vietnam-bound B-26 pilots at Hurlburt in 61. And then it was pulled, I think, in 62 back for maintenance. And then the conversion started in 64 and finished in April of 65 and was basically zero timed, came out with new wings, rebuilt, strengthened, put 4,000 pounds ordnance under each wing, 4,000 in the bomb bay, and 850 calibers in the nose, and you could do some pretty good hunting with that.
Oh yeah, it's a beast of an airplane, and it's striking to me how much different it is. You know, with the hard points, with the big engines, the big props, the wing tanks, and how much different it is than a standard B-26 or A-26. It is quite the beast, and like you said, it is a good hunting platform, I think. And the pilots really enjoyed flying the airplane from some of the things I've heard. And, you know, on the Legacy Foundation, the A-26 Legacy Foundation guys, the Nimrods really, really enjoyed their time as much as you can, I guess, flying combat. But they were good airplanes for them. So.
Yeah. They just loved the airplane. When you talk to the Nimrods, they get a big smile on their face. And we're talking to them about maybe having a little mini reunion up here at the hangar in May so they can see our progress. I don't think it'll be ready to fly in May, but we want them to see what we're doing. When I was at their reunion, and I had the opportunity to make a presentation one dinner evening to the Nimrods and showed them what we were doing. Hawkeye Pool had put together a video, and I put together a PowerPoint with some of our shots. And I promised them that I would try my very best, and our team would try to get this airplane flying before we lose one more Nimrod for B-26 pilot. And I'm getting pretty concerned about that because most of those pilots were very senior pilots and when they were picked or volunteered for that mission.
Sure.
Most of them are captains or majors or higher. So I was a little bit surprised that most of them were approaching 80 now. And the whole thing is about telling their story finally of what they did and how much they did for us in the Vietnam War. They got the presidential unit citation. Many of them won all kinds of medals, but then they couldn't tell anybody what they did until the classified mission up until the early 90s.
Right.
So there's a story there, and that's the whole purpose of getting this airplane out. We want to take it out to air shows and other places that we can use to relate their story and tell, what these men did. It's an incredible story when you get to talk with them about it, and I think it'd make a great movie, as a matter of fact.
Flying down in the dark over the trail has got to, I mean, is pretty scary stuff, and I agree. It's a story that needs to be told, and I'm sure glad you guys are working towards that goal and having the airplane up and flying to tell this story. And that's what we do here, and you know as well as I do, Jim, here in the Warbird community. You know that's what we're here for. Yeah, they're fun. They're great airplanes. They're fun airplanes to fly and see fly. But it's the guys that operated them to begin with that are the main part of the story here. And, I know Jim Terry's got a good heart for those guys, and he's working on some other projects as well to bring more of that to light. And, what other projects are you guys working on? I know we've talked a little bit about, he's got the Pacific Prowler, and he's got a couple of C-47 projects. He's got, the one up flying the Southern Cross. And what else you guys got going?
Well, you pretty well got them. We do have one surprise in the wings, though, and that's the Waco CG-4A troop glider that was used in World War II. It was dropped, in Normandy, just as the paratroopers were dropped, and in several other major battles that they were used. We have the cockpit areas almost restored, but we have to build the rest of it. We've got pieces and parts to use as templates. We've got plans that we can fabricate the rest of it. The main thing we need right now is a space to build it and volunteers and money to, of course, get the materials going. And we plan to fly it. And that's one thing Jim Carrey and all of us feel very important. A static airplane, you know, that's beautiful, that's nice, but that doesn't really tell the story. And not till right. you see it flying and you hear that noise and that round engine going, the oil blowing out of it when it starts. Since I've been flying the B-25, it's just incredible to me. You know, when I take that thing out to an air show and some of the vets come up and talk to us about having flown that airplane, and we get them to sign the doors to our bomb bay. We make a bomb bay door hall of fame, I guess you could call it, inside the B-25, where if you go in there, you're going to find signatures from all three services that flew the B-25. And we also got Dick Cole's signature on one of our bombs. He was Doolittle's co-pilot on right. the Hornet. And I understand that he, and I may be scooping him a little bit, but there's a group in Decatur called the Wise County Veterans Group who's trying to put together a program for Dick Cole to come up there and be available to talk to and sign autographs. And for a man who's, you know, approaching 95, he's still pretty spry and getting around. We saw him in San Antonio back in October.
Right.
So anyway, we're thrilled about that. And when we get back to the glider, when we get it flying, we're going to tow it behind the C-47 and take it around and show what it was like to actually have to land in one of those things. I mean, it's not really a glider. It just kind of hits to the ground, and you hope it pulls out at the last minute.
Right. Yeah, it's a rock with wings, yeah.
Yeah, that's a story in itself. You know, they did most of their work at night. They dropped them from 500 feet. They towed them at about 120 miles an hour, and they got them where they were going, dropped them off, and, you know, the C-47s said bye-bye, and they had 500 feet to think about getting it on the ground someplace. And all the other gliders around them with the same idea, trying to hit the same landing zone, so you can imagine what a free-for-all that was. Mm-hmm. And it's no, out of the 14,000-something built, it's no wonder there's not but 12, 13 of them left.
Right. You know, it's exciting. It's exciting when I talked to Jim Terry out there at the hangar one day, and he told me that idea. I was like, yeah, you know, first thing goes through your mind is, yeah, you guys are nuts. The second thing goes through your mind is, golly, I'd sure like to see that. So that's mm-hmm. some exciting news. That's going to be something very unique and on the circuit and out there flying around. So. And well, thanks, Jim, for calling in. I know we're a little late here, so it's time to wind up the show here. And we hope to have you back on soon and see that B-26K flying in the air again. So thanks for joining us tonight, Jim.
Sure thing. We'll keep you posted. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Good night, everybody, from the Wix Warbird Weekly on warbirdradio.com. We'll see you next week.